We're just starting a series last week on discipleship. What is a disciple? And we looked last week at Jesus' words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And today we're going to look at the cost. It's a little different from what I expected to preach this Sunday. The other message I'll have to do another time, because I really feel God wants me to lead through in this message. I want to say, first of all, that during the week I went to a funeral in a previous church where we used to be at Canterbury Gardens of a previous pastor leader, not only in that church but in Bright and other places, a man called Bernard Peirce, who died this last week and was buried on Friday. And as his family stood and testified about this man, it was really moving, and it was a rebuke and a challenge to me. They said that his life was consistent, that what he was in church, in front of people, what he was at home, and it was a wonderful tribute to a man of God. And I said, "Lord, I've yet to grow in areas. I aspire to that. Help me to truly follow you." And he and his wife June were parents of a number of children, and each one of them are following Jesus because their parents are following Jesus. And the impact of that man's life in his family, quite apart from the others that he's impacted in his life, really spoke to me. And that really is what discipleship is. It's following, seeing in somebody, your parents, in others around you, Jesus, and reading in God's word about the Lord Jesus and following him. I want to read, first of all, I've got a quote there, it's up there, I hope, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. And to become a follower of Jesus, there is a cost involved. Because he is Lord, and he calls us to submit to his lordship and follow him. But it's a joy, and as we heard last week, that when you follow him, he brings rest and peace. He brings you into a freedom that is not a burden at all. Your burden shall be light, he said. Your yoke will be easy. So let's then read in Luke's Gospel, if you've got your Bibles and would like to read along with me, or it'll go on the screen. Let's read together from Luke 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 23. Then he said to them all, notice to everyone, he had huge crowds following him, not just his 12 and others close to him. He said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self or his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." God will bless the reading of his word. There are three imperatives, three commands in what Jesus said here. Three commands that I want to look at together this morning with you. First of all, he said, you have to deny yourself. That's a command. You have to take up your cross and you have to follow me. Three commands in that one verse. And I'd like to look at them under two headings. First of all, there's the basic requirement of discipleship. If we are going to be disciples, and don't forget that the word Christian and disciple back at that time was interchangeable. In fact, Christian didn't come into use till into the church history after Jesus had died and risen again. Gone back to heaven, the church was established, and down the track a bit, the disciples were called Christians. And so we have in the New Testament The whole idea of discipleship is not some elite group of Christians who are really committed to Jesus Christ. It is everyone who's a follower of Jesus. Everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus and decides to follow him is a disciple. A Christian, a disciple, a Christian, a disciple. Same thing. So some people have the idea that you have to aspire to discipleship, and then that's something different from just being a Christian, putting your faith in Jesus. And no, putting your faith in Jesus Christ is the open door that you walk through into forgiveness of sins and peace with God, a right relationship with God, God's Spirit coming and dwelling within you. But it begins a life of discipleship. The word means to learn. It means to develop in my knowledge and understanding of what God wants me to do, and then to put it into practice. That's discipleship. So it all is bound up in the word follow, to follow Jesus. First of all, we need to follow his example. As Jesus himself said, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Hey, if you put that into university or a high school today, they would say everyone, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will know what his teacher knows. But it doesn't say that. Jesus said, anyone who's fully trained under my role as a teacher, and you as a pupil, or you as a disciple, you as a follower, you will be like your teacher. Christian discipleship is growing into the image, the character of Jesus Christ. And so, as we heard last week, Jesus said, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. That's something that is life-changing. It is making a difference in the way you operate as a person, the way I operate, who we are. We grow into the likeness of Christ. And so when we have really learned fully from Jesus Christ, as his disciples, we'll be like him. How are we going? Don't ask Mark about me. I'll tell you about her. But seriously, we're growing. Or hopefully we're growing. We haven't stagnated or slipped back. But it's a growing, a daily, a continual growth. In fact, it is in the continuous present tense. So he says, those who want to come after me, Jesus said, have to continue and continue always following me. It is a lifelong process of growth. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We're to take on the mind of Christ as we read God's word, as we read about the Lord Jesus and the way he operated. The Spirit of God in us helps us to understand his mind. This humble, meek and lowly man, the God-man, who walked among men and washed disciples' feet and had compassion for the poor. And all that Jesus is, his mind needs to be our mind. And that's why the Bible talks about being transformed, changing, by the renewal of our minds. The mind of Christ. And in John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, and then everyone will know that you're my disciples. You are my disciples when you follow my example of love. Just as I love you, you've got to love others. The example of his life. But how we have the Bible, we have the New Testament, which we can read, as I've already mentioned, but how else can we really follow Jesus today and know his mind and follow his example? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11, to the church at Corinth, he says these words, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Whoa! That means that we've got to look at others around us who are in the Christian community, our church, and outside our church, all those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to see Christ in them and follow that example. And as I look around, this church is full of godly people. And many, many, many people give me an example of the kind of Christ-likeness that I want to build more into my life. And I desire to be a person that might impact others by the way I live my life as well. Because as Christ fills us by His Spirit and lives His life through us, as we follow the example of Christ, others see it in us and follow as well. Our family is the priority in that, as we've been thinking this morning with the dedication. But not only His example in life, but His example in His commitment. In the context of this very passage where Jesus puts this demand on us, this cost of discipleship, He's actually talking about His own willingness to go to the cross. For 9 chapters, He's been presenting Himself as Messiah to Israel. And now He says to the people, the disciples that were there, they were asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And they said, "You're the Messiah." He says, "Right, now that you know that much, I want to tell you something else. The Messiah has to suffer. He has to die. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be spat on. He's going to be nailed to a cross." Now He says, if you're going to come up to me, if you're going to follow me, then you've got to follow me all the way. You've got to take up your cross and follow me. You've got to follow me and my commitment. My commitment, in a sense, Jesus could say in this context, is to follow my Father's will. Do my Father's will no matter what it means. And it means for me the cross. There's a commitment that I have made to follow my Father's will. And that's the commitment I'm expecting of you. Follow my example of commitment. Secondly, to follow His teaching. Not only His example, His teaching. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to it, if you abide in my teaching, it really means, you will truly be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in John 15, likewise, it says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch, and then that's thrown away. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will show yourself to be my disciples, he goes on to say. So the discipleship, following Jesus, is following what he teaches. His word abides in us, and we then, abides mean that it affects us. It changes our lives. How many of us, I remember hearing a story, I believe it's true, that the great C.T. Studd, that a pioneer missionary to India many, many years ago, in the 1800s I think it was, but anyway, early 19s perhaps, sometime around then, he went to India, and before he went, there was a time when he was at a conference, and a friend of his, another speaker at the conference, saw that he got up in the night and saw that his light was on, and he tapped on his door and said, "Are you all right?" And C.T. Studd turned around and said, he was on his knees, kneeling beside his bed, and C.T. Studd said, "I've been going through the New Testament to see if I have, am obeying all that the Lord requires of me." And with tears in his eyes, he was struggling because he realized he wasn't. But he was so committed to following his Lord that he went through the New Testament and saw, yes, I believe I'm following that, but no, that's a struggle in my life. And taking seriously the word of his Lord. Secondly, in the next section, we find that there's a radical nature of discipleship. Not just the basic requirement of following Christ, but he goes on to say that we need to take up our cross. And we need to deny ourselves. Let's look at those two together. In Luke 14, the Lord Jesus said these words. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I'm going to say here, hate is not the word. The idea of hate here is God hates sin, but he doesn't get emotional about it. It's not an emotional thing. And hatred for us is often an emotional thing. It's to regard as less important than, because of your love for. To love something so much that everything else is regarded as hatred. It's not a hatred of a vengeance feeling, a sinful hatred. It is to say that my love for God and my love for Jesus Christ, my desire to follow him, means that everything else, every other relationship, even my own life, comes secondary. And it's said in these startling terms to awaken us to the commitment that is required of us to be his disciple. I mean, when you stand back and think about it, who is Jesus Christ anyway? Who would make this kind of demand on your life? Only God can make that kind of demand, and of course, he is God, the Son. And as God, he is the Creator, he is the one on the throne of the universe, and the Lord Jesus, exalted after his resurrection, is at the right hand of the Father in total authority. All authority has been given unto me, he says. He is exalted to the highest place, and there is none equal, and he brooks no rivals. And in our lives, he is deserving of the place of honour, of total lordship, of total kingship, of total rule and authority in our lives, so much so that even our parents who we love, and our children who we love, and our own lives that we love, are way down the scale compared with what we should have in our honour and love for God. In fact, the more you love him, the more you will love your husband and your wife, and the more you will love your children, and the more you will, you won't love yourself. Actually, it says to deny yourself. And that's what it's about. To deny oneself means to say no to self. And when you put Christ on the throne of your life and let him rule there, he is over and above, higher than your parents and your children and everyone else. But it will only happen when you deny yourself, when you die to yourself, when you put self off the throne and put Christ on the throne in your life. It's not self-denial. Self-denial means to go without something. Like this week I'm going to go without any carbs. I'm just going to eat salad, you know. All right. That's self-denial. That's not denial of self. Denial of self says, when my wife says to me, "Keith, would you please come for dinner?" I won't say, "Oh, I've just finished this thing on the computer." I'll deny myself and I'll go and have dinner with my wife while she's waiting patiently for me. You see, it means that he is Lord over everything in my life, the Lord Jesus. To deny myself means... deny self means that he is Lord over what I do with my spare time. That he is Lord over my money. And not just my money, but my willingness to give time to making money instead of serving God, maybe. You know, it's not just money, it's time. Time is money. So if I decide that the things need to be done and I need to serve God, but my job is more and more demanding, then I'll say no to the boss, say no, I'm going to do my time that I've agreed to work, and I'm actually going to give my time to serving God in reaching out or doing whatever. It's that kind of issue is very clearly understood once we put Christ on the Lord as Lord on the throne of our lives. He's Lord over what you do in ministry within the church and within the mission of Christ. It's Lord over who you should marry or whether you should even get married. Maybe the Lord wants you to remain single and serve him. I don't know. But it's Lord over those areas. I could go into a million areas. There's so much in our lives where we need to really say, is Christ Lord? Am I truly denying myself? Because Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's part of being a disciple. And it's a challenge to me, as I'm sure it will be to you. And then there's the daily expectation to take up your cross daily and follow him. Now, the expectation, I use that word because it's an expectation of consequences due to your discipleship. If you follow Jesus, if you deny yourself, then you're going to have to take up a cross. It's inevitable. Because taking up a cross is not what some people think is, oh, I've got a cross to bear because I've got a really crooked back, or I've got a cross to bear because my husband just doesn't love me as he should, or I've got a cross to bear because my kids have just gone wild, or I've got a cross to bear because I've got to work when I'm 70 and I should be retired by now. Whatever it might be, people talk about a cross like that, but that's not what the Bible talks about when it talks about a bearing a cross. You see, the cross was a symbol of rejection. It was a stake where people, prisoners and criminals were nailed to the cross or hung on a cross as a place of execution. And when Jesus said to take up your cross, because what happened was when criminals were let off, as Jesus was, they often bore their cross. They walked to the place of execution carrying that cross. And they were, that was a sign, a symbol of rejection. They've been rejected, they've been judged, and therefore they're going to be crucified. And so it is a symbol of rejection. That is, if you decide that you will follow Jesus, and if you decide that you will deny yourself, then you're going to make a stand. You're going to stand up for righteousness. You're going to be a person who identifies yourself with Jesus, and automatically there's going to be a cross to bear. There's going to be rejection in your workplace, in your family maybe, in your neighborhood, wherever you are. And by the way, it presupposes that you're in the world out there doing stuff. You're not cloistered away. That's in the world of, and the world is humanity opposed to Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, whenever the word world is used, it's talking about humanity opposed to God. And in a community, in a society of the majority of people are not walking with God, not wanting God in their lives really. Then when you stand up for Jesus Christ, then there's going to be rejection of some form or other. In your school, there's a young guy that used to go to our church in Havelock North in New Zealand when we were there. And he grew up in the high school and was a real faithful follower of Jesus Christ, Jonathan Dove. And he was rejected by others around him. It was so, I mean, it's tough to be rejected any time, but when you're a teenager, to be rejected is absolute the pits. And he stood up for Jesus Christ, and he went to Bible college, he's now a pastor in a church in Auckland, and he is just a strong, incredible man of God. And I believe it was forged in the high school where he was willing to stand up for Jesus Christ. And even in a Christian school, not all Christians, and even from Christian families, they're not all Christians. Just because you were born into a Christian family, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I'll briefly finish and I'll say this. James, the brother of Jesus, and James, the son of Zebedee, were killed by mobs in Jerusalem. Matthew was slain with a sword in Ethiopia. Philip was hanged in Phrygia. Bartholomew was flayed alive in Armenia. Andrew was crucified in Achaia. Thomas was run through with a lance in East India. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. Simon the Zealot was crucified in Persia. Simon Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. Matthias was beheaded. Only John escaped a martyr's death. Jesus said, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. If Jesus was as committed to you as you are to him, would he have given his life for you? Let me ask you that again. If the Lord Jesus was as committed to you as you are now to him, would he have given his life up for you? Are you giving your life up for him? Am I? Let's pray. want to give you an opportunity to respond to him, not to me, to the Lord. Because the same Jesus who walked the streets of Israel and said these words to the followers of his day is here this morning in our presence by his Spirit, saying the same words to us today. And I'm going to ask you quietly in your heart to respond to him. To him. And say what you want to say in response to his call, his command. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Will you respond to him now, just quietly in your hearts? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrificial life and death, giving yourself, coming, becoming one of us from the glory of your existence in heaven from all eternity past to become a human, and more than that, to be a servant and to be obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Thank you that you're highly exalted and your name is above every name, and every knee will bow one day in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we bow before you now and acknowledge that you are worthy of our complete allegiance, and we commit ourselves afresh to you through Jesus Christ our Lord.